Let's prepare our hearts now for our Advent reading for the day.
Last week, we lit a candle that signified our waiting for Jesus, the light of the world, who brings us hope. Today, we focus on the love God has for us and his reason for bringing Jesus to earth. There are times in life that we may find it hard to fully believe that the creator of the universe does indeed love us. During those times, we must go back to God's word, which is an assurance of his love. Advent is a time to seek confirmation of God's love for us and to hide his word deeper in our hearts. Jesus arrived as a baby in a lowly manger, taught us all how to live in fellowship with God, and then died on a bloody cross for our sins, demonstrating God's tremendous love for us. While not typically a verse used much this time of the year, the profound reality of John 3:16 should sink deeper and deeper into our souls. God so loved the world, including me and you, that he gave his one and only Son to live, die, and conquer death for us. 1 John 4, verses 7 through 9. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him.
By lighting one candle each Sunday of Advent, we are intentional about preparing our hearts for the birth of Jesus. Today we focus on God's love for his Son and for us. We light this candle because we look forward with love to the coming of the shepherd. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your Son. You love this world so much that you let him die for us lowly sinners. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so we can more fully comprehend your love for us. Help us, Lord, to be your hands and feet here on earth, to share your love, your unconditional love, with everyone we meet. Amen.
Today is the day the Lord has made. Amen. My name is Michael Allen. I am the associate pastor here at Cross Point Church, and I want to welcome you, whether you are joining us online or whether you are in person, to our church, where we exist to bring about the obedience of the faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. We're going to be hearing about one of those nations today. We're so glad that you're here to worship with us for this for the second Sunday of Advent. Can we just talk about the fact that it's already the first Sunday in December, though? Like, does anybody else think that that's just not fair? I just, man. I want to say a special thank you to, I don't know where they ran off to, but to Peter and Marty Hetzner for that wonderful Advent reading, and also to Cheryl Galvez, who's been putting together those readings and been scheduling the readers. So thank you for those. To those people. Hey, so we have a couple of cool things coming up. The first thing that I want you to know is tonight, everyone say tonight. Great. Tonight is prayer night. So you may not have come yet, but we really want you to every first Sunday, doesn't matter if there's a holiday, doesn't matter if one of us is sick, every first Sunday we gather downstairs right now in the fellowship hall to pray together. There are few things that are more necessary to our Christian walks than to pray. And how sweet it is to get to spend time worshiping and praying together. We group up with people. We pray out loud together. You don't have to pray out loud if you're uncomfortable with it, but we lift up our hearts together to the Lord. And because we get there at 6, we go to like 7:15, 7:30, and I know that can seem scary maybe for some of you. You're like, man, I can't pray for 30 seconds. You want me to pray for an hour and a half? But we guide you through it. We want to give you templates and teach you how you too can be praying for that long, and I promise it goes super quick. Rob or Justin have led us in worship. We had sing some worship songs together, so we'd really love for you guys to be there for, 6 o'clock, tonight. Everyone say tonight. Great, I expect every single one of you to be there. We also have, we're going to hear more about this in a little bit, so I'm not going to give you all the details yet, but on December 9th, which is a Friday night at 7 p.m., we have the Kijani Jam. So you're going to hear more about that in a little bit, but it's a fundraiser for our Kijani Farm friends out in Kenya. And so I'm going to make an assumption that Heather's going to speak more on it, but just put that on your calendar, 7 to 8:30. It's supposed to be a really awesome experience. They have a pop-up market. They bring some food that is, I believe, native to Kenya. So really looking forward to that. Put it on your calendars. It's a great time to come out, hear from them, support them, and pray with them, I would guess, as well. And then finally, we have Christmas Eve and Christmas services coming up. Because, again, we're in December already. So here's the deal. Christmas Eve, we're doing something really special. We are combining services with our Burmese brothers and sisters. And so we are going to have a service from 4 to 5 p.m. on Christmas Eve. So the reason why we're doing that, if you haven't looked that far ahead in the calendar yet, is Christmas Eve is on a Saturday and Christmas is on a Sunday. And we usually do a Christmas Eve service and then let everybody do stuff on Christmas Day with their families. But the fun thing with Christmas being on a Sunday is we're like, well, why wouldn't we gather on Christmas nonetheless, right? What better day to come together than to celebrate the birth of our Savior? So Christmas Eve is a combined service, 4 p.m. We'd love to see you there, but because we know that you have family things, things that are traditions, rituals that you do with your family. Sometimes you meet on Christmas Eve, sometimes you meet on Christmas Day. We're going to be doing the same service, more or less, between Christmas Eve and Christmas service. So if you can only make one, that's okay. We'd love to see you at both. But here's the trick. If you have young children who are second grade or younger, we need you to sign up letting us know that you're going to bring them for the Christmas Eve service. We want to make sure, because it's a hard holiday to get our volunteers here, we want to make sure that your kids are well cared for. And so please, 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 the sign up is, I believe, is it back at the Welcome Center, Gretchen? And it's for both services. Good correction. Thank you. Her voice really carries. It's really wonderful. You can tell she teaches children. So for both services, if you have children, if you're over second grade, we really, really want them in service with us. We think that they'll be able to do it. It's okay if they're a little noisy. You want to know what noise means? It means that we have young children in our church. And that's something to celebrate. It's something to be excited about. But second grade, we're also encouraging to be in here, but we will cover second grade. Under second grade, we will have childcare for you, but you have to sign up. So what better time than that to dismiss our children to Children's Church. So children, you are dismissed. You can head off. If you are my junior hires, you are staying in here today. I'm watching all of you. Hey, so we are going to get to hear from a special speaker today, and I'm really excited because the Dalamators are back in town. Dave is going to introduce them more formally in a moment. But as I was thinking about the work of missionaries, and to be clear, we are all missionaries. That is what we are called to do. We're called to be on mission, to go and make disciples of all the nations. And this is a nation, and Kenya is a nation, and Myanmar is a nation. But we are called to go be on mission, to be missionaries. And the fuel of missions is meditation on God's promises for his gospel workers. See, missions isn't a vanity project. It's not something that we do for ourselves, right? And it isn't like the janitorial work of ministry, right? It's not like, oh, well, you can't be a pastor, so you're going to be a missionary instead, right? It's not, oh, you can't be a children's worker, so you're going to be a missionary instead, right? Missions work is one of the crown jewels of Christian worship because we are all called to be missions workers. Every single one of us. This is the kind of service in which David exalts, which Christ commands, and also for which the Apostle Paul ceaselessly labored. So I just want this verse to sit on you, and then I'm going to pray for our service. Paul writes it in 1 Thessalonians, and he says, "For you remember, brothers, our labor and our toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. That's what we're all called to do. Missions, missionaries. Will you pray with me? Father, we just come together to worship together today, to lift up our voices, lift up our hearts, lift up our ears, to hear from you. And I pray over the rest of this service, I pray over the rest of this day that all of us who are here, whether we're online or whether we're in person, would leave this service changed, more formed into your likeness. Father, I thank you for the Delamaters. I thank you for bringing them home safely. I thank you for the word that they're going to bring, and I pray that you open up their hearts so that you would speak through them, so that we wouldn't hear Heather, Lord, we would hear Christ. So we wouldn't hear her thoughts or her opinions, Lord, but we would hear your word spoken boldly, and that it would change every single one of us without fear. Do not fear, for you are with us, Lord. That is something we can take everywhere we go. You are with us. So, Lord, I pray over this service. I thank you for the Delamaters. And I just pray for all of us to receive your word with glad hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. That was good. Thank you for that introduction. Thank you for your presence here today. I want you to know that you have been prayed for. You are here on purpose because God has called you to be here. And when you are not here, we lose out. We lose your voice, we lose your smile, we lose your connection. And so it is so good for us to be together. And I'm grateful for the Lord's presence here, and that's what we prayed for most importantly, that God would do his work among us. And so it's good to prepare and to preach and to plan, and those things are important. But ultimately, we are limited humans. But God is supernatural. He is all-powerful. He's the one that changes hearts. He's the one that molds minds. He's the one that stitches bodies back together. He's the one that we have hope because of his promises. He's the one that knows everything about your life. And I always wish I'd have more time with every person. And that makes me sad not to be able to spend more time, because your life matters. Your life matters to God, matters to me, matters to this place. And know that he hears you, he sees you, he loves you. And so we pray that God would speak to us today. So again, so good to be together. And I'm so grateful that we have our special guests sent from Cross Point and then around the world in Kenya. And so Brian and Heather are here with us today. And they are here for December into January. Yes, so they'll be around, I'm sure, speaking other places. But as you know, if you've been with us, we spent about 10 days or so sending a group of six of us to be on site and be on the ground to see what they're doing. And we were thoroughly impressed and thankful for what God is doing on the physical property, what he's doing in that area, what he's doing in the hearts of those who have been connected to them. And it is a wonderful ministry. And we're grateful that you guys are here with us today and they'll be sharing with us today. So come on up, whomever's coming up. Okay, Heather. So Brian is here. Say hi to Brian. Right, there he is. And Heather is here with us. Yes, Heather. And so I've heard Heather speak a number of places in a number of ways. And she did a youth talk, I don't know when that was.
Last December,
okay. Uh-huh. And it was probably the best youth talk I have heard. And I was a youth pastor for 13 years, and so I know a lot about, well, I know some about youth talks. And I was like, wow, that's incredible. And seeing your heart and the ministry you're doing in Kenya and around the world, we're grateful for you. We're grateful for you, Brian, and what you're doing. Oh, and Wayne is grateful for you as well.
We're grateful for Wayne.
Yes. Wayne is our honey man, and so he went to Kenya with us, and he set up all these honey things, and he's been selling honey and sold all of the honey, right? You have any more? Are you done? You do have more? Okay. If you're looking for honey, you got to talk to him. He'll bring them. So he said, make sure you give this to them. And remind them it's $5 so you can support Kenya. So
I'm here to raise $5.
So grateful that you're going to be sharing with us. Oh, so thank you for bringing the word and sharing what's going on. So
thanks.
All right, let's give a warm welcome for Heather Delameter.
Oh, thanks. Wow. Thank you. This is coming to speak at your home church, but it's a little bit like speaking in a living room, right? Like if we just had a fireplace going and a couple dogs running around and dimmed the lights a little bit and we just all kind of snuggled up around a coffee table just to share. That's how I kind of hope this presentation kind of comes across. I have notes. I hate notes. I don't like to feel like I'm ever in a box. That's why God sent us to live out in the wilds of Africa. So I'll do my best to stay on the notes, but also I just really love to talk about Jesus. I love to talk about people. I love Jesus. I love people. I love being with people. And so if anything comes out, it's just that this love that I have that God has put within us, right? He puts this love for people within us. And so if I could just share just a little intro of our family. But I have to pause, because you know what worship messes me up every time I'm going to speak somewhere. I don't know where Rob is. It messes me up every time. Because now I want to talk about that, right? This is Christ the King, whom angels guard and shepherds sing, right? Like, that's a sermon in itself, is it not, right? The humble King came to us as a baby. And so it's just exciting to have the opportunity to talk about the Lord in his house and to worship him together. And so when you look at missions, you have to think of not only is about evangelism, it's not only about discipleship, it is adding people to the worship choir. Like around the throne, someday we will stand, and it says every tribe and every nation from every generation throughout history will be there. So when you are inviting people to come to know Jesus, you're inviting people to join the choir. As a limited singer with horrible intonation, this excites me that someday there will be this immense, incredible, perfect choir, and we will spend endless days in worship of the Lord. So very thankful for worship teams for that. Okay, about us just a little bit. So we're the Delameters. We have three kids. Noah is our oldest, married to Melissa, and Isaac. He is in the Army, currently based in Alaska. And we have Charlie. She's our surprise child in the sunshine of our life, and she is 5. She's with Noah and Melissa today because she's not feeling well. Charlie lives with us in Kenya, of course. And I'm sure I did hear the testimony of this team, calling her a firecracker or earthquake or something like that, and that would all be true. Was it something like that? Yes. Hurricane, yes, that would be true. Yes, Hurricane Charlie. Yes, we're going to get a t-shirt made for that. Oddly, our family is motivated by a statement from a movie. I think the movie came out in 2009. It was called Transformers. Have you seen this movie? It's deeply not theological. But we found a life theme out of it. At some point, the robot turns into a car and the door opens. The main characters are standing outside. And the man says, I think we're supposed to get in the car. And she's like, what? Get in the car? And he goes, no, I think we're supposed to get in the car. And she's staring at him. The robot door is opening. And he says, 50 years from now, don't you want to say you got in the car? That, yes, 50 years from now, I do want to say God said and I went. God said get in the car and I got in a car. And in our case, God said get on a plane and we got on a plane. I'm a curious kind of a person who's like, if this is me walking through a store, I got to touch the sweater because it looks soft. I got to press the button just because it's there. But if God says these things, I'm curious to see if they're real or not. I'm not testing the Lord. I just, that scripture that says, taste and see that the Lord is good, I want to taste. I want to see. I want to go. I want to know. Right? In Kenya, we sent the team off on safari. They went to a beautiful place. They have beautiful desserts. They taste the dessert because it looks lovely and it tastes terrible because there's no sugar in it. Right? You tasted, you've seen, it is not good. If we were with you, we would have said, have a great time. It's not going to be good. But as I and my family have walked these steps of faith in obedience, we have found over and over again that God is so good and so worthy to follow. And if, as scripture says, our life is just this short, just a whisper, then why not? What else have I got to do? My worst nightmare would be to live my life as a shampoo commercial, where it is essentially wash, rinse, repeat. In the real world, that means work, eat dinner, watch TV, go to bed. work, eat dinner, watch TV, go to bed. That sounds horrible to me. But easy, right? It's a very easy routine. It's a very comfortable routine. It feels good. I like football. I mean, there's some things that would be really great about that, but I don't want to live a life like that. And so with intention and purpose, you seek out different. You seek out where the God is doing the work and what is he actually asking of me to do. And so in that, it meant Brian and Heather and Charlie, you're going to go to Kenya and you're going to live in the middle of the bush, which kind of, as a team, looks a little bit like the middle of nowhere. Very random. Boom, we're going to have this ministry. And so I'm going to ask Rob to play the video. But because Crosspoint is our church, our sending church, our home church, our supporting church, our praying church, from now on, I would like you to look at Kajani Farm as this is our ministry. You are building it as we are building it. We have the privilege and blessing of being on the ground, which is an awesome place to be. But this is you too. So I want you to look at your farm. So if you can hit the video, Rob.
Welcome to Kajani Farm. Here, we are at the borehole, or a very deep well, that will provide access to an abundance of water. That pipe in the ground you saw will bring up the water for us to distribute. Soon, this area will be very popular and literally a lifesaver for our community. Right now, Kajani Farm has water delivered to the property almost every day to keep up with the daily needs of our staff, preschoolers, craftsmen, and locals. But soon, this borehole will be operational and accessible, creating an abundance of this increasingly important resource. In the middle of a drought, we have seen how destructive a lack of water can be. So it is a good thing that there's an underground lake beneath Kajani Farm. As we make our way to the next stop, make sure to wave to our neighbors, the zebra. We love seeing wildlife around the farm. Next up, we are entering what is called the boma, essentially our living area within the property. This is the STEM house, where we host short-term mission teams and Todd and Emerus currently stay. If you ever visit Kajani Farm, you can stay with us. We have multiple bedrooms, bathrooms, and our friendly guard dog Zuri will greet you every morning at the window. The fenced area on the right is where we keep our chickens, and they should start laying eggs soon. On the way to the Acacia House, you will see the security guards area. They are from a different part of Kenya, but they love this ministry as much as anyone. We will meet them on this walk soon. And keep your eye out for the toad rumbling around the property as the staff are working on different projects. Here's Vincent, one of our guards. If you ever visit us, you have to make sure to greet everyone with a handshake and a smile. To say what's up in Swahili, say mambo. They will probably respond with Missouri sana, which means I'm great. Okay, welcome to the Acacia House, and give a wave to Heather. This building was wrapped up only 2 months ago. The top floor is a living area for the Delamaters. It has a great view and is perfect for hosting guests. The bottom floor will be finished up in 2023, which will be a ministry area for the staff to meet. It includes offices and an eating area for short-term teams. While you're here, make sure to give Charlie's dog Lola a greeting. As you can see, we walk a lot on Kajani Farm, but it's important to be comfortable in the environment and to appreciate the outdoors, even if it is really hot sometimes. Right now, we are making our way to the Community Water Project, or the CWP as we call it, where we will see a lot of our favorite people. This area of the farm is built for loving our community. The CWP provides water for the community as well as a preschool and a library. You can see construction of our new chai house. It's being done by Sammy and Brownie, and this will be done very soon. Next up is the kitchen. This is where we grab our chai in the mornings and lunch in the afternoons. In the Maasai tribe's language, you greet everyone by saying, Supa. Here, Mama Agnes, Daisy, Teacher Maria, and Cynthia are making some beautiful jewelry while preparing chai for our staff. It's time to meet all the guys. Let's see if I can name everyone in time. First up is Melia, a full-time worker who is also an elder in our community. Daniel is our community manager and one of our longest tenured employees. Paul, David, and Simon are the other security guards. Meshach and Adriel are college students who are working to save up for school. They are delivering water to elderly members of our community. And this is Mosipa. He's one of our other staff members who kind of helps out wherever help is needed on the farm. Finally, here are the cutest members of Kajani Farm. Say hello to Olakira Lenka Kenya Preschool. Our staff member Jane is keeping a close eye on them because they have a ton of energy. We love serving the Maasai tribe alongside this team of amazing people. Thank you for coming along this walkabout Kajani Farm.
Let me tell you a little bit about Kajani Farm and what we do every day. Our work is very intentional and very purposeful. God had given us a very clear picture of what we were supposed to do on Kajani Farm years before it began. And it's just things we call Kajani Five, because it's easy to remember off the numbers. But the first one is clean water, and our borehole did open. So I'll end this with a little teaser, because I do want you to come on Friday. But in the meantime, we have been buying water for years, and women are able to come and collect that water, take it home. We distribute it by bicycles. I think we're up to 16 home sites that we deliver to now. And we provide water for the preschools. Kajani Farm has one preschool on site and two others, so a combination of three preschools. Which leads me to talk about education. We love our preschoolers, and very soon the preschool building will be done. Missions works more like a crock pot than a microwave. And we were struggling to get the building done because the supply chain shortage is real, inflation is real. What do you do with the preschoolers while you're trying to build the building? So January 23rd, the new school year starts, and the preschoolers will have their new building to go and sit at desks and learn in that way. So we'll get them off the floor, which will be a great thing. But part of education is taking care of the child altogether. So we started a feeding program at three schools, feeding 125 kids and supplementing the salaries of five teachers. We do this for many reasons. One is we want kids to go to the school closest to their home. We were having kids travel very, very far to come to us because when we began last year with one preschool, when we added food, kids were coming from far. So that prompted us to pray for wisdom, and God said, you know what, I think maybe we should just manage all three of those schools. And so now we do. And each year we're going to be adding a grade, so the preschools will eventually go up to class three. One of the motivations is the fact that the government school does not have any food. Little kids need food. You know, my kid goes like an hour, you know, and they're whining because, you know, she's so hungry. Imagine going from school from 9 to 1 all day without any food. So this is just a blessing. we are happy to offer to the community and to the kids. When we started it, the food prices were here, and each month it went up and up and up, and we had to scrounge and search for things like milk and different ingredients, but God provided every week, and so we're thankful for that. And if you're a supporter of Kajani Farm, as this church is, you helped make that possible. We did not miss one meal in spite of all the difficult circumstances of this last year. By supplementing the teachers' income, that helps them take care of their families. We have 19 employees with Kajani Farm, and that supports over 100 people, if you count their families. So just that small act of just hiring somebody and training them up to do something that's greater than they ever imagined, even if it's a small skill growing into something, it's helping so many. And our staff looks dramatically different than the people who are not our staff. Our staff is able to keep their kids in school. Our staff has newer clothes and better shoes, and they're able to bring something home. Because we are actually the only employer in the community. We're the it. And I can't hire 2,000 people. We just can't. It's not possible. But we're hoping by pouring into our staff is then, therefore, pouring into their community as well. We have a very large voice that God has given us, and we're very thankful for it, but we'll always be missing about that much of the culture. Even if we live there for 1,000 years, we'll still always be missing that much. But our staff knows, and they understand, and they guide and direct us. In fact, Daniel, who you saw in the picture, often pulls me aside and says, "Mom," that's what they call me because nobody can say Heather, "we've made a misstep," which is a super polite way of saying, "Heather, you've blown it again, and so let's course correct here." And he helps with that in incredible ways. And so by doing education and by clean water, and we hire people and we train them how to be employees, and some of them will end up being entrepreneurs, but some of them are going to be university students. So what we have done this last year is find the kids who've risen above. Do you know that in any and every circumstance, there's a level where everybody suffers? And everybody in our community is suffering right now. The drought that's happening in Kenya is horrible, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that. But there are those students who somehow found this motivation, and they rise above. So we've talked to these students, and what is it that helped you finish high school? What was it that helped you to achieve more than everybody else? They have to pay for school. If you don't pay for school, you get sent home. So some kids miss a year of school. Some kids are in and out and in and out. But these few have risen above. And it's all because they had a mentor. Each one of these persons can pinpoint one person in their life who helped motivate them, who helped encourage them, who helped show them something new and something different. And those students are the ones we're helping. We're going to help them get to university with the condition, right? We send you to school for 4 years, and you're coming back to Kajani Farm to pour into your own community so that you then can motivate and encourage and inspire the preschoolers. The thing about the preschoolers is, they're almost like our own kids to some degree, because we will watch them be littles grow up to adults. We have influence from 3 all the way up to adulthood. Who would not want that in a ministry, to have 20, 30 years of influence in someone's life? Now, there is a caveat. We could really mess it up big. There is that possibility, but we're hoping we have enough of a safety net, and you're all with us praying for us that we won't do that. But imagine being able to take a government curriculum that is just not helpful and add in scripture and add in Bible teaching and add in books and add in creative thinking, and then have people who have a passion for seeing young kids raise up to be good students and good learners. Imagine how their community is going to change. I thoroughly, thoroughly believe that God never wanted people to live in poverty. I don't think God wants people to be hungry when half the world is throwing away most of their food. I don't think that's what the world's supposed to be like. I think we are supposed to, when Jesus says feed the hungry, we're supposed to feed the hungry, right? The other thing that we do is really pour into spiritual growth. Originally, Kajani Farm, we thought we were going to be church planters. We don't have to be church planters. There's churches there. We need to put in position places for pastors in the community to be trained. We need to create those opportunities, and Pastor and Jim want to be a part of that, and Pastor Key of, like, these are men who are committed to their community. They're just lacking the tools. They're lacking the resources. They're lacking mentoring. They're missing guidance and direction. Some of the pastors teach out of the commentary at the bottom of their Bible. because that's all they have for training, which is better than nothing. But there's so much more that God can do, so much more. In the Maasai community, it is a polygamous culture. It is not uncommon for people to have multiple wives and out of that then have many, 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 many children. It is a part of the culture. It is very difficult for men to humble themselves to come sit at a church. It is easier for them to send their wives or to send their kids, and therefore, by osmosis, this is not biblical, but people believe by osmosis, somehow you will get to God, right? If you're close, then maybe I'm close, and that's good enough. So by pouring into these pastors, we're hoping to see amazing transformation. On the other side of that, where I fit in, is women's Bible study. We have an incredible group of women. I think in 2019 we started with like 5 people, and when I left, I think we were close to 62. 62 women come every week for a Bible study. I have their busy, busy lives of carrying firewood and hauling water and taking care of kids and watching goats, and they build their houses and do all these things. They'll come and they'll hang out for an hour, hour and a half. And we are slowly going through the Bible because we have time. We're not in a hurry. We started at creation, and now we've just made it to the death of Jacob. So we've been going at this for quite a while. If you think sermons can be long, wait till you come to our Bible study. We hope to be to Revelation by like 2042 or something like that. I don't know, something. But we're working it through because I am a firm believer in, let me say this right, discipleship to evangelize. It is very difficult to share the gospel with somebody who has no understanding of what you're talking about. And in a hospitable culture like the Maasai people, they would accept Jesus because you asked them to. They wouldn't want to hurt your feelings. So we actually could have been done in like 3.5 weeks if that was our method. You want to ask Jesus into your heart? Check. Want to ask Jesus into your heart? Check. Done. We could have been home. But that's not how it works. We're supposed to love the Lord, our God, with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. People have to know something of God to make that decision and be able to serve him in such a way. And so we are teaching the Bible so that when it comes to a point where they are making a decision to follow God, it's because they have a knowledge of who he is. They know exactly what he's asking of them. And what he's asking of them is everything. What he's asking of us when we come to a saving faith is everything. And I'll talk about that more. But out of this Kajani 5, this is how we move forward. This is what we do every day. We focus on those 5 areas. It keeps us from going off on bunny trails and all these different directions, and we're very focused. And out of that, God has given us incredible opportunity to serve. When we started 5 years ago, just 5 years ago, November 2017, we moved on to Kajani Farm full time. Out of that time, he has put the right people in place for us to be friends with, to connect with, to get to know, to trust, people who tell us we've made missteps. He's put also like some not good people in our path too, so we learned who those were. And we were able to start learning how to live and how to function and how to be a part of the community and just how to survive actually. And it was difficult. Actually, it was quite horrible in the beginning. If it wasn't for people backing us up with prayer, we probably would have quit. To be honest with you, pioneering anything is very, very difficult, and it takes great perseverance, and it keeps focus of vision and fixing our eyes on Jesus and just trudging through the day. And how God says, you know, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. He has to keep repeating that because sometimes it's too difficult just to hear it one time. But I want to show you a picture of what Kajani Farm looked like in the beginning. So if you could show that first picture. When we moved there in 2017, shortly after in 2018, there were great rains. It was incredible. It was lush. It was wild. It was sometimes crazy. You had to be careful where you walked because animals that are predators, like hyenas and leopards and things, sleep at night. And you don't want to disturb them, right? So we had to be very careful. If we walked into the bush, we had to have other people with us. And often it was taller than us in many places. It was a really kind of cool place. We were actually like, oh my gosh, we can never invite people to come in April because of rainy season. We won't be able to do anything with them. But that was really short-lived. The last time it looked like this was in October of 2019. So if you could show the next picture, I can show you what it looks like today. This is the same farm. with God for some reason has withheld the reins. And we don't know why, and it's not for us to question, but it is within our ability, our freedom to ask for God to bring the rain. Now, I said we did get a borehole, and I will talk about that. But it's not enough to combat massive and severe drought. So our ministry has changed dramatically, and even just the last couple of months, to focus on really difficult things. Everywhere you walk, there's something dead. Dead zebras, we've buried eight zebras because they've dropped dead. The chickens that you saw in the beginning, all my chickens are dead. It's just, there's goats, we go home visiting, there's dead goats. You go driving, there's dead cows. Things just need water to live, and there just isn't that. Praise God, thus far people are alive, and we're praying for that, to stay that way. But our ministry may actually be shifting to famine relief in the new year. Nothing is grown in our area. We are the only piece of property that has any sort of bush on it. Our neighbors have overgrazed their land, so their soil is dead. And as their animals are dying, they have nothing. Nothing. But, right? Then we go, but God, right? They have nothing. Well, it's just popping into my mind now, but in Habakkuk, right? It talks about there's no figs on the tree and there's no grapes on the vine, yet I will praise the Lord. Is that how that goes? If I'm making a mistake, please correct me. This is what we are teaching them. That though there's nothing, there's still a reason to rejoice. There's still a reason to praise God. There's still a reason to trust on him. There's still a reason to wait on him, to be patient with him while we are ever growing impatient. And it's very difficult. It's very difficult because we're living it too. But I have resources. They don't have resources. I have a savings in a bank account, and their bank account is dead. It's a cow and it's dead. How are they going to get that back? Remember, we're the only employer. How is this going to recover? I don't know. But we're called to be there. We're called to be in it. We're called to walk with them. When it is raining, we're rejoicing with them. When it's in a drought, we're crying with them. When there's weddings, we're excited with them. And when we go to funerals, we're holding hands, hugging, and crying with them. God has called us to be in it. And it's actually, at one time, it's a very uncomfortable place to be. At the other time, it is a great honor to be there at the same time. It's such an odd mix that God has put together, where you're like, I just don't want to go. Please don't send me to do that. I don't want to do that today. And then I get there, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, thank you so much for letting me be here to be a part of this, to hug somebody and to hold their hand and be a part of this and pray with them. We're learning perspective as we've gone from 2017 to 2022, going into 2023. We're learning perspective. Oh gosh, there's so much I want to say. Let me just tell you a story. Maybe we'll just burn the notes. Maybe we'll do that. We'll see. Let me just tell you this. On November 19th, we're in Nairobi. Brian is getting ready to go to the U.S. He's going to spend Thanksgiving with his family, and we get a message. Then a man you met, his name is Pastor Moses, his wife has died. We were shocked. How could she die? We just, 2 weeks ago, we sent the toad over to their house with water because she just had a baby. What happened? Why didn't somebody call us if she was sick? We would have sent her to a hospital. We would have done something. We were shocked and a bit devastated. So Brian has to go. On Monday, I said, I'd really like to go visit the family. So we have a young couple with us, Todd and Emerus. Emerus and Charlie and I get in the car with Agnes, who works with us, and we drive to their home, their Boma. There's many, many people there because it's a community that rejoices together and it grieves together. And I find myself sitting in a tin house talking with a husband who's just devastated. He defines himself as a Christian because he is a husband of one wife. That actually is a strong statement in itself. And all I'm thinking about is a two-week-old baby. And then you look at Christmas and you think about, why in the world would God send his son as a baby? Is there anything more vulnerable than that, right? So what is more vulnerable than this? I mean, the big question in my mind is, how is this baby eating? There's no formula. There's no clinic. There's nothing like that. And she's being fed by the graciousness of neighbors. Other women who have babies, that's how she is being fed. So her life is sustained by the generosity of other women, which is now she has gone from having one mother to no mothers to having maybe like half a dozen mothers. There's something kind of beautiful in that, that provision. That wouldn't even have crossed my mind. I was thinking of driving up to Nairobi and buying 6 months' worth of formula. But here the community itself has already resolved that. So I'm sitting in this tin room, and Emerus is here, and Charlie's just in and out. You know, she's just like, people are crying. I'm going to go play with a goat and a kid and all that kind of stuff. So she's just constantly moving. We start asking questions. They start talking to me. And there's many layers to what these conversations are. So what comes out is most important to the family is that the woman who died, who had actually never met her because she had never attended Bible study, and she's just a little bit out of where I do my normal visiting. Their farm's a little out. And so, but this woman had taken on her sister's child. Her sister had passed away, the dad was gone, and she had basically adopted this little boy, David. She took him on. So now the father, Moses, is like, what am I going to do with this boy? And I'm thinking, well, he's yours. Isn't he yours? Shouldn't he be yours? That's not how they think. So I'm praying, oh, Lord, please give me the courage to sit in front of grieving people and all these men who are leaders and pastors and things. Help me give me the right thing to say. And all that I can think to say is, God had people, right? The Jewish, Hebrew people, these are my people. Israel is my people. Jesus and faith. And we are adopted in, right? We are adopted in. So as a Christ follower, I have all the rights and responsibilities as a child of God. The inheritance is mine. God is available and accessible as my father. I can call on him at any time that I want to. So I share that with them, and I'm like, I would hope that this child, this little David who is 2 years old, would never know that you are not his father, that he would always grow up knowing that you are his father, that you love him, that you will guide him, that you will take care of him, that you will teach him of the Lord, that he will just be yours, that he will not be set apart as an outsider, but he would just be yours. And it was just like brand new information to them. And sometimes that's what people need, is they just need new information, fresh from Scripture, fresh from what God has said. So they took that to heart, and I'll follow up with that when we get back. So we go home after praying with them, still kind of lingering like, oh, I wish I could hold that baby. And would Brian be upset if I brought home a baby? In Kenya, you can't adopt if you're an outsider, but I sure did think about it a lot. Just leave her at Kajani Farm, and so we have not adopted Josephine. We don't need to adopt her because the community is taking care of her. 2 days later, we're invited back. Now this is a Wednesday, and we're supposed to be at a prayer meeting, which this is kind of a cool thing for all the Christians in the community to come together. Everyone's grieving and enjoying a meal, but they're sharing the gospel, they're talking about the word of God, and they're encouraging one another. So we sit down, and because my husband is not there, sit down for about 10 seconds, and they say, okay, Kajani Farm, could you share something? Sure. Yeah, anytime there's an opportunity to talk about God, I'm going to talk about God in whatever way that I can, whatever form that is, whatever is available. So they have the ability to stand up and for 15 minutes just talk about how sovereign God is and how we were created for eternity, that as forgiven people, that we actually will be reunited with the Lord, not by faith, but by sight, and what an amazing place that will be, and how that could be available for all of us. But we have to set aside our sinful ways. We have to confess with our mouth. We have to believe with our hearts that Jesus is Lord. We have to deny ourselves. We have to come and follow him. We have to take up our cross every day. And we have to actively, intentionally, purposely pursue God with our everything. So did I want to go to that prayer meeting? Absolutely not. Was I thankful to be there? Because God keeps inviting us into these very scary, close situations where you're super uncomfortable and you're outside of your element and you don't know what you're supposed to do or what you're supposed to say, and any sort of training or equipping you had is just out the window. There is a framework of our life, and I know how to do everything in this box. If you tell me how to make you pasta with homemade sauce and homemade bread, I got it down. But if you ask me how to walk into a situation completely outside of my comfort zone and my element, I am wholly dependent on the Lord to make it work. And he does. Every time we are just tied up in what he's asking of us and we don't want to do it, he pushes us forward and we do it anyways. But I will tell you in this, it's learning many things. One is that God commands us to do things and we are supposed to do them. Commands are simple, they are understandable, and they are obeyable. Is that a word? Obeyable. I'll type it in later and see if it pops up in spell check. Obeyable. I have learned greatly that even the purpose of this church, if you were to take away obedience of faith, if you took obedience out of that statement, would it have purpose? Or would the whole thing have just lost its foundation? Obedience is the key word of that whole entire statement. We're not going to see any fruit coming from any nation without obedience, right? So this is what I have learned in obedience. One, God says it, so you're supposed to do it. And it's not easy. Simple is this, and easy is something else. If it was easy, then we wouldn't have to be dependent on the Lord in the first place. But we move forward in obedience, dependent upon the Lord to guide and direct. He has so blessed us with the Holy Spirit so we can do such things, like boarding a plane and leaving everything behind, including kids, to go serve him in a foreign land. We can do those things. It's actually hard, doable, obeyable. So obedience is that. Knowing your calling is another thing. This is actually a question people ask us all the time. How did you know you're supposed to go to Kenya? I don't know. We just picked a country on the globe and said, that looks awesome. It's near the equator. It must be hot and pretty cool. No. It's actually the same calling all of us have, right? And if you were to narrow it down to the most simplest things, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. How much of that is you? It's actually all of you. Your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We are to love our God wholly and completely, entirely, internally, externally, with all our talents, gifts, and abilities, our thoughts, what's motivating our heart, all of it. We are supposed to love him completely. He loves us completely, and we are supposed to do our very best to love him. Then, he said, we are to love our neighbor as ourself. Love our neighbor is actually kind of okay. You can pick up their mail when they're gone. Maybe you could take their dog out, or you could pick up their newspaper or shovel their driveway, even if you want to do that. But as yourself and our family, that translates to who gets the last ice cream. Do you love your brother, your dad, enough to leave ice cream for him last? Not always, right? That doesn't happen. And there's no ice cream in Kenya where we live, so it's okay. But love your neighbor as yourself. Who's your neighbor? Who's your neighbor? In my case, it's anybody I bump into. My neighbor's the person I like to talk to at Walmart who I've never met before and will never see again. My neighbor is you. My neighbor is the person at my bank. My neighbor is all the Maasai people who come through our door. This is my neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, we've got those things down. We're also supposed to have compassion with people. So if we're supposed to love our neighbor ourselves, does that mean the lost or just the believers? We get caught up with this in the Christianity, right? This is really tricky. We could talk about politics. Are we supposed to love them too or not? Love them also as ourselves. We can talk about people who are just different. Am I supposed to love the polygamist? Yes. Yes, I am. Am I supposed to transform the polygamist? No. That's not me. Am I supposed to share the gospel and am I supposed to disciple? Yes. Who does the work? The Holy Spirit does the work. I don't do the work. I'm just the messenger, right? But I'm supposed to be saying something. I'm supposed to be doing something. Faith comes by hearing. I hope I'm making sense. It makes sense to me, but I don't know if I'm making sense. So anyways, so we're supposed to be obedient. We're supposed to be understanding what God's commands are, and we're supposed to be doing them. What are other things? We're supposed to forgive, and we are supposed to, I don't even know where my notes are. We're supposed to love the world. We are supposed to understand that God is being patient. When we say that the world is crumbling, it's actually not. It's not. The world is sustained by the grace and mercy of an all-powerful God. If God wanted everything to be done, he could just get rid of gravity, shake it up a bit, and send us all out into space. There's nothing that is limiting him. The Bible said that God is very patient. Why is he patient? Because he wants everyone to come to repentance. Do I want that too? I should want people to come to know who Jesus is. That should be my, well, I have the privilege of that being my everyday occupation. That is my job, is just to share the love of Christ with people every day. I want the Lord to tarry a bit. I know that I personally am living my end times, and you are as well. We are finite on earth, right? We have this finite lifetime, and we are to do all that we can for the Lord within this timeline of which the end is unknown, right? So I'm supposed to be living fully for him. And so if I can look at someone who is, say, lost, the definition of lost, right? Definition of lost is they don't know who God is. They may not know anything about him, and they live a lifestyle completely different than mine, and they think differently than me, and they act differently than me. They make choices different from me. And it's fine, because I don't want them to emulate me anyways. I want them to emulate Christ. I would like them to look through me and see Jesus on the other side. This is what we try to do with Kajani Farm. This is what we try to tell our staff. Not all of our staff is believers, but because you work for us, you represent Jesus. So please don't do anything that would draw people away or push them away from the Lord. You represent him just because you're here. We represent him because we know. We have a knowledge of God that is worthy to be shared, right? And I keep looking at these. I'm just going to go like that. And in that knowledge, then, it brings about compassion. And so what my job is every day, just about every day, is to homeschool Charlie up until chai time. I go to chai time, and we spend time with our staff and catch up on what everybody's doing, with the understanding that there's somebody waiting under a tree to talk to me. And so when we're done with our chai time, that person is invited, and I sit down with them, and I sit down with Daniel or one of the other staff members, and I ask, why did you come to Kajani Farm today? Why did you come? And the answer has been changing a little bit. Usually it was just help with little things here or there. Could their preschooler just have a break from school fees? It's fine. They pay fees, but we're taking such a loss. The money is neither here nor there. It's just to add value to their education. Yes. Would you come to a wedding? My child is getting married. Would it be that? In July, it was school fees, because the Kenyan school year is different than here. And in the past, what we've done is helped maybe 5 to 7 students. We call it a boost. We pay for school fees for one term, and then that's just it. One time during your high school career, and then we're done with that. So it usually works out to be maybe $150 to $170 a student, right? So that's where we're at with that. Super cool, very excited, and then sometimes we invite some of the high school students to come work while they're on their holidays. But at the same time, their drought is getting worse and things are dying. And by end of August, now I have maybe like 20 people knocking on our tree, asking to speak about school fees and asking about food. So I'm going, I don't have $150 a person anymore, right? But I'll listen and I'll problem solve and I feel like everybody deserves the dignity of being heard. Even if I actually cannot help with the situation, even if I have to send them away and say, I'm so sorry, that's not something we can help you with, even if they do the wrong thing. I sent a woman to the doctor, and she came back with olive oil. Why did you come back with olive oil? Oh, I went to this doctor, and he gave me this oil, and it'll make me better. I'm like, wow. Gave her $30, that's like 50 cent olive oil. And she's like, well, now he can pray for me. I'm like, honestly, I had to pray for you for free. You know, like, if that's where we're going, right? But instead of like saying, I kind of get where they were coming from, but it was just a little left turn that they were taking. But it's okay, right? It's all about building relationships and connecting and looking at the person across from you, and by listening, saying you're valuable and you're important. And God knows and God sees. And we'll pray with everybody who comes through our door and whatever we can do. So as time goes on, and now we've got 20-plus people looking for school fees, and I get it. Their cows used to be worth $500, and now they're maybe worth $10. And nobody wants to buy them because they could die tomorrow. Who wants a dead cow? Even I don't want a dead cow. No, what am I going to do with it? We've already buried 8 zebras, all the chickens. I don't need a cow to add to the mix. So I'm like, okay. Talk with Brian. I'm like, maybe we got about $60 a person, $30 to $60. So we help those. Boom, 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 boom. Now we're just like telling the student, okay, now go back to school and be a really, really good student because teachers have favorites. Amen? Yes? All the teachers are like, yes, but we won't say it out loud. Teachers have favorites, and you need your teacher to be your advocate to keep you in school, right? So now we're moving farther into October, early November. I got a lot more people than I can keep track of. I have a notebook, but it's filling up really quick. Okay, I got about 10 bucks a person. Brian, can you go hit the ATM? And Brian, can you go hit the ATM? Brian's like, I want to hit the ATM. Jesus is going to take care of it. Just go hit the ATM. And he does, because our compassion fund is going this fast. So we go, and we help more with $10. Now we're calling the schools. Hi, this is Kajani Farm. Just want you to know we're working with mom and dad and the student to make sure that they will be the most committed student they can possibly be. And please, please, please don't send them home. We're doing our best we can to support the family. We have no more money to give them, but we're going to send the $10 immediately as I hang up this phone. Please don't send them home, all right? And mom and dad promise whenever they get anything, even if it's a dollar, if it's 50 cents, or whatever it is in shillings, they're going to send it. Did you know that none of those kids got sent home? We found favor through prayer and being a little creative. Okay, week before we leave, still got kids. These kids need to go to school for sure, the ones who've been sent home, because now school year is ending and they have to have their fees or they can't take the exams. You don't take the exams. I mean, it's just like missing finals here. You just get a straight up zero. Okay, Jesus, we're down to nothing, right? We got zero happening. Please give us wisdom. Please give us favor. Please give us insight and creativity. Please help us to do a something with a nothing. Because Jesus has done it before, hasn't he? I mean, he started reading about the fish and the loaves, and you start digging into that, and how miraculous is that, right? Okay. Hello, school. This is Kajani Farm. We are not sending anything, but I have talked to the student, and they are very serious about their studies and very committed. Mom and dad are doing the very best they can because they know if they don't pay their school fees, they can't start the new year. So mom and dad know that they have 2 months to pay off the fees and prepare themselves for the new year. Please, we're asking you, would you just have grace and mercy upon this family and let this student come back to school? Mom and dad, send what you can when you can, however you can, whatever it takes. So we send all these kids to school and they all got to stay. And the economics of the Kenyan school system is everybody is suffering. They're not collecting anything from anybody. But I don't know how God worked this out, how he turned a nothing into a something. I don't know how he does that. But he does. He does these amazing things that we don't even understand. And is it teaching them or is it teaching us? Is it teaching me that I am so wholly dependent on all the other external resources that we can step in and we can do all these things? Or is him like, let me just take everything away? Like everybody else, your neighbors are down to almost nothing, and you're getting close to nothing. But watch what I can still do. Look what you thought you could do with 5-7 people in July, and look how many I can help with nothing. We have this many, and I can't even tell you how many God helped in November. It's just amazing to see him at work. And what that does is it just bolsters our faith. It makes me want to be more intentional, more obedient to whatever he has asked me to do. It makes you excited. It makes you so excited. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I will say our land is devastated at this point. Just devastated. The fact that like just dead animals is just part of Charlie's like vocabulary at 5, she's like, I'm like, where's the zebra? And she's like, dead. Where's the zebra? Well, there he is and his leg's over there because something started to eat it last night. Anteaters, gazelles, all these things are just a part of it. And as the cows and the goats die, the people have nowhere to look. And now all that they can look to us for, as we had left was we're just going to direct this all to the Lord. Our hands are empty, and just like you, we are just wholly dependent on him. And by faith, because he has been so faithful, we believe he will do something. That he so loves you, that he so loves your family, he so loves this community, he will do something. And he's teaching all of us the same lesson at the same time. I'll tell you, one day I was feeling quite desperate, which usually tends to be on Tuesdays, which is when the women's Bible study is, because those women encourage the tar out of me, I will say that. And I was just saying to them, you know, there's this verse in Samuel, 1 Samuel, I think, and it talks about a rock. Samuel puts down a rock, right? I have it in here. I have it in there. He puts down the rock and he calls it Ebenezer, right? And he says, thus far the Lord has been with us. I say, you know what? Maybe we all just need a reminder on a constant basis of God's faithfulness to us, his love for us, and his care for us. So if somebody ever finds a very large rock, I'm going to send some of my guys over. I'm going to send that towed vehicle. And we're going to pick up the rock and we're going to put it right at the front of Kajani Farm. So as you pass through, you're just reminded of God's faithfulness. Thus far he has been with us, so why would he drop us now? Right? So that's fine. Everybody was kind of okay with that. The night, because now we have an apartment that's upstairs, I was making dinner, and I was just looking outside, and we were all kind of dumbfounded at what we were seeing, because off to the side there, we could see Mount Kilimanjaro. Never, never have we seen Mount Kilimanjaro from Kajani Farm, because the trees have always been so lush and big and everything's so big. And Kilimanjaro in itself is called a disappearing mountain because it has its own atmosphere. It is the biggest thing on the continent of Africa. And so at some point during the day, the weather shifts from the coast and it just covers itself up. And we've only ever been able to see it from the main tarmac highway. We've never been able to see it there. So just hours before, I'm like, wouldn't it be awesome if God just brought, like, this big rock? Like, I'm thinking a rock, right, that would be really heavy to lift. Instead, I'm looking out the window going, oh, Lord, you have just brought forth the biggest rock in all of the continent of Africa, just as a reminder. Like, it couldn't get any bigger, right? It couldn't be any more obvious. And it's very, Kilimanjaro is very distinct, so you could never mistake it for anything else. There it is. There's our Ebenezer. Thus far, the Lord has been with us, and we got it for about 2 or 3 days, and we've never seen it since. But I thought, is this not God in his great love for us saying, Heather, stop your whining. I am here, and since you're looking so small, I have to show you something so big. Since you think in July your hands are so full, let me take your hands and let me empty them so that you can have empathy with your neighbors, and let's all be empty together so we can be completely filled with the Lord. And whatever he so designs for his provision for us, this is what I think I need. This is what God is saying. This is actually what you really need. He's a very gracious, very loving, and very kind teacher. And then, on November 12th, we had a party. So here we are in this just struggling, and we hosted a party. We had 600 people come for lunch. We had to drive hours and hours away to find fat goats because the goats we have are too skinny to eat. Did you know that, like, you can't eat a dying goat? That was my answer to everybody. Just eat the cow. If the cow's dying, just eat the cow. But you can't eat a dying cow because there's nothing left to eat. So we had to drive. We spent $500 on 5 cows. I can think of 1,000 different ways to spend $500. But we needed to do it because it was just very, the community was excited. We had 40 women come and cook food. We had probably about 18, 20 men killing goats, and somebody donated a sheep. So we actually had 6 things. We had the toad running constantly, bringing water, and we had a party. Our home office, Johnny Farm's a part of Global Outreach, came, the CEO, and all these other people came to celebrate with us. And so I want to show you, can we just skip to the video and then we'll do that last slide? I want to show you this video. This is from their team, but if you come on Friday night, I'll show you the real, real video of the celebration. But watch this. It was an exciting day. So it was so fun to see like old men running to dip their hands in and wash their faces, and women just like splashing, and kids just playing. The kids dancing and singing are preschool kids, and I feel like the mom at the Christmas program for grade school kids. You're just like so proud of them for the dances they did. But it was all about just praising God. Everybody with empty hands kind of just meant they were ready to be washed and ready to get ready to see what God has done. It was not only just God's great provision, but it was somehow cleansing to us all. Clean, clean water. We so take it for granted here. If you don't have that, gosh, and then you see it just pouring from the earth like in this massive abundance, never run out of it, water. We can produce 24,000 liters an hour. An hour. I mean, you have to come. You have to come to see how random it looks like Kajani Farm is, to see how God has just provided greatly. The Bible talks about Jesus being the living water, and now he has given us living water. Though we're very concerned about the future and that people are being hungry and what we're going to do about it, we know that he is going to take care of it, right? We know. And we know that he is going to provide because he's given such great glimpses of us. We've seen Kilimanjaro, and we've seen water pouring out of the earth. What else can he do? Anything he wants to. So, I don't know how to round this up. I do want you to come on Friday. I want you to come on Friday. I want you to come see and hear more. We've got just a great testimony of what God's doing. We're so excited to share with you more in detail. There's 100,000 things I do want to share with you, but I'll just have to end at some point. But I just pray, this would be my prayer. This is our experience. We've been able to see God do amazing things because we put ourselves in close proximity to him and what he's doing. My encouragement to you is that wherever you are and whatever you do, that God would put you in a place where you are just drawn to him, that you want to be in close proximity to him and what he is doing, that you would humble yourself, that you would take what you had in July and you just empty your hands and you just come to him and say, I actually have nothing. I come to you with nothing. Fill my hands and show me what to do. It's a difficult but most amazing lesson that God provides, because then we get to see him do miraculous things, and we can't do that when we're hanging on to my own self and my own things and whatever I want for myself. Jesus wants us completely and wholly available to him. Just lay it all down and take the step forward in faith and obedience and see what he does. I think you'll just be amazed. I think we'll see our world transformed. I think that the hurt and the brokenness that we feel in the world today, the things, the injustices that we see, we as believers in Christ have the ability to do something about that. I wholeheartedly believe that poverty can be stopped in the community that I serve. I believe that every tummy can be filled. I believe that every child someday can get an education. I believe that every child there has a future and could do something great for the kingdom of God. Do I think I can do that for the whole world? No, absolutely not. But the place in the circle of responsibility that we have been given, I do believe that can be done in cooperation and community with the body of Christ. I absolutely think that can happen. I think we have to walk forward as incredible optimists that what we can't, God can. He absolutely can. So whatever is bothering you, whatever is not right, well, where, God, I come empty-handed. Put me to work. Give me a place and a thing to do. And he will give that to you. Because I will say that it is easy to say that we are outnumbered and overwhelmed. Could you not say that of your own ministry? Are you not outnumbered and overwhelmed? But God says he has overcome the world. Take heart. Take heart. I do have one quote I do want to share from my notes, actually, as I end. This is it. I love C.S. Lewis. I love all the books in the Chronicles of Narnia. And the Voyage of the Dawn Treader, he has this quote. He says, have courage, dear heart, for there is nothing to be afraid of, and there never has been. There's nothing to be afraid of, and there never has been. So while internally I feel a little bit of afraid of a potential famine, but there isn't anything to fear. God knows. He actually knows what's going to happen tomorrow and the next days after. So we fear nothing, and so we can move as brave and courageous followers in Christ. Let me pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for this congregation. Lord, I thank you for the prayer warriors that I've known for many, many years. I pray for my new friends. I pray for those who I don't know. God, you know And we are more than a community. We are the body of Christ. And each person has a role and a gift and a talent. God, and I pray that you would just pull us together as a functioning body that is able to do incredible things in your name for your sake, that as your kingdom here as it is in heaven, God, help us to be living as if we are part of a kingdom, that we are not defeated, that we are not diminished in any way possible, because we come to you with nothing, God, and you fill us up and you give us abilities and you make all things possible. God, you started with your with the creation of the world, but from a nothingness, you made us something, and out of that, you had this grand and glorious plan. And from the time that Jesus came to earth as a baby, the clock's been ticking, and now we ever wait your return, Lord. But we pray that would you tarry just enough, as much as we want you to come back, as much as we want to be in your presence. Help us, Lord, to be enabled to share your gospel and your love with others, whether it's through evangelism first or whether it's through discipleship first, whatever comes our way, Lord. Gosh, we just want to be a part of your work and be a part of what you're doing. We want to be all about your business, Lord, and help us to make that possible. Help us to encourage one another to make that possible. We thank you for the honor and privilege of serving the Maasai people, God. We pray for them. We lift them up to you, God. We pray that people would come to not only a saving faith, God, but they would just be strengthened by your Holy Spirit to do mighty, mighty things in their area of the country and in the world. In your name we pray. Amen.